You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. In April, when Steve Almond was here to talk about his new book, Bad Stories, our conversation ranged from politics to parenting to navigating tense conversations that can happen now in these political times between loved ones. Steve is the co-host of the advice podcast Dear Sugars with Cheryl Strayed, and he's a deep thinker, and he writes in that voice that he thinks and ponders with. So I asked him to come back when he was in the area again, and here he is.
Yeah, good to be here.
Thank you so much for returning. What bad stories are weighing on you lately that aren't in the political realm? And I ask that only because I see that you are a very strong voice about the conflict of the politics of our time.
Yeah, I think the central bad story that I encounter, having put Bad Stories, the book, into the world, is that people are really engaged in a struggle with faith, is what I think it is. Ultimately, I didn't realize I was writing a book about faith, but I think that's the kind of book I wrote because running underneath all of the distractions of the news cycle, of everything that is coming at us, is a basic question, I think, that a lot of citizens of good faith have, which is, do I matter? Does my individual voice and action matter in this great experiment of self-government? Mm-hmm. And I think the last election is great evidence that, 104 million people didn't think their voice mattered enough to get to the polls. That was way more than either candidate. And now we're coming up on a midterm where I think the issues are pretty clear. If you're a citizen of good faith, you have to vote if you want personal interests to be put before corporate interests. And, that's not a political statement. It's more a statement of faith. Do you believe that it matters? And so I felt increasingly that the real struggle underneath everything is for individual citizens to somehow be reacquainted with their faith and the idea that their individual actions matter. Because at every moment in the American story where America has risen up and made a huge moral shift, where the pendulum is swung the other way, whether it's abolition or suffrage or civil rights, at any moment, it's been because a whole bunch of individual citizens believed that their political action made a difference. And the stories that undercut that are the ones that break my heart.
Hmm. Because do I matter can lean to great depth and depression, to sadness.
That's right.
And sort of a paralysis.
Yep.
And at some point, maybe that can force anger, which gets people to rise up.
Yeah. Well, the way I say it in Bad Stories is that human beings, as a rule, and I see this in my work with Dear Sugars as well with Cheryl, human beings have a tendency, and Americans have a bad habit, of exalting their grievances as a way of really defending themselves against their vulnerabilities. And this is not a partisan statement. I think every human being, I don't believe in bad people. I think people fall under the influence of bad stories, and not just people on this side of the political divide or that side of the political divide. In fact, all of us are struggling with the question of whether we matter in the course of the democracy, whether we're the subjects of history or just the objects of history. And I think it's reached a kind of crisis point, and the midterm election, although lots of people sit that election out, is really an inflection point. It's going to be a question. And I say this not because, I obviously always want human interest to come before corporate interests. I'm deeply troubled by the way in which I feel, this is my belief, our government, at least at the federal level, has kind of devolved into a kleptocracy. There's just rampant corruption. There's an alliance between big government and big business in a way that is, to me, unprecedented. When I look at the number of cabinet secretaries who simply view public service as a for-profit endeavor. And one of the things that's quite sad about the way that, and I say this with all due respect because I think you make a deep effort to go deep into issues. I know that from having listened to the show. The media gets lost in a stimulation game. And so the latest story, which basically begins, like almost every headline, the president hates thus and such a person or entity, those stories, which are bad stories, which teach us nothing new, we just affirms what we already knew and kind of stokes our tribal grievance, blots out a whole bunch of really good and important stories, such as, for instance, you were discussing earlier in the hour, the fact that the California lawmakers are considering really you know, putting it to the metal in terms of saying we are going to have only renewable electricity by 2045. The federal government be damned. This is what California, the fifth largest economy in the world, is going to do, because we have to fight the reality of climate change. Or my senator, from Massachusetts, Elizabeth Warren, just proposed an anti-corruption act that is the most morally grounded, commonsensical way to drain the swamp. It just says we shouldn't have a government in which lawmakers can become lobbyists, in which corporate influence is rampant. It's very basic in terms of what it wants to do. It really basically wants to drain the swamp. And those stories, it's not that we don't hear about them. They do get some coverage, but the dominant drumbeat of coverage is an incessant focus on conflict, grievance, this one sad, insecure man's grudge against the world.
Well, I want to skip over that then. I really want to go back to your intriguing very first question, which is, do I matter? And then the follow-up to me, or one of the follow-ups, is how do I find out if I matter?
Right.
How do I know? Where do I go to know? Because maybe the typical institutions that used to feed me back a picture of myself either aren't there, or aren't an accurate reflection, or aren't reliable anymore.
Right. Right.
So what are people doing?
Well, I can't. It's interesting because I wrote a book that was a book of ideas that was trying to say, here, if you're worried about all these bad outcomes, you have to trace them back to the bad stories that we've been telling ourselves or consenting to. I viewed it as a book about ideas, but what I realized when I would read from bad stories is that people are struggling with this question you just identified. How do I know that I matter in this era of sort of social media, the kind of curated life, this kind of vast echo chamber where all and everything seems to cast me as just a consumer of entertainment? Can I actually then stand up and get off my couch? And if I go into the streets, what do I do? What sign do I hold up? You know, what candidate or cause do I support? And what I always try to say to, readers or people who come to a reading is, you need to ask yourself the question, what candidates or causes are important to me? If you've got three little kids, as I do, then public education should matter to you. And then you should align yourself with a candidate. More teachers are running for office. I mean, look what just happened in Oklahoma. Again, you don't hear a lot about it in the midst of the president's infantile tweet storm, but there is a kind of movement happening in this country, not in the blue states, but in the red states, right? West Virginia, Arizona, Oklahoma, where teachers, the people who educate our young, are rising up and saying, I do not consent to a society in which I do not have a livable wage. You know,
that's what I think is coming out of this, Steve. And I say that from sitting in this seat on this show where I get such a cross-section of people involved in so many topics, is the lack of being able to use something bigger to define is making people go in small ways to what they care about. And maybe for the first time, getting out, joining in, going to see something, my friend Corey going back to college, somehow figuring out how to connect with another human being.
Right.
And don't we all know that the getting out of oneself is the ultimate way to finding some purpose?
I think it's sort of like finding your tribe. We talk about this a lot on Dear Sugars. People, when they're sort of trapped within their own loop of bad stories, where the only thing they can do is sort of see a media that's casting America as some sort of horror movie, the dark other lurking, you know, the old con of getting people focused on racial resentment or ethnic resentment to distract them from economic justice. It dates back to before we were a country. Or they have a media that's telling them it's all a joke, everybody's corrupt, which is really preying on a certain kind of faithlessness. We laugh at it. We laugh at Sam B. or John Stewart, but it is predicated on the idea that they're all corrupt and there's nothing you can do about it but laugh so you don't cry.
Yeah.
But I feel like there is a kind of awakening that's happening in the country, and it's not happening in a huge top-down way. It's happening because individuals are saying, you know what, I do not consent to this arrangement where my only role is to passively tweet, sort of hate watch democracy's descent. For me individually, I thought, what do I have in the world? What can I do? Well, I do the work that I do on Dear Sugars, but that's very personal. I teach, that's not partisan. But as a citizen, I teach writing. And what I've done personally is say, I want to have a series of fundraising workshops where everybody who comes has to contribute, not to me, but to a candidate or cause that they support. I don't care what it is. I just want them to be involved and activated as citizens. And when they come and before we talk about writing and do all that stuff, they're incredibly excited because they say, you know, there is this organization that's specifically about trying to empower families that are torn apart at the border, or you know, people who are seeking mm-hmm. refuge in this country, or dot, dot, dot. Mm-hmm. And once they realize they're not alone and that there are a whole bunch of other people who have quietly been, if you know what I mean, suffering with that feeling of, I can't do anything about
stuck.
This.
Stuck.
Stuck, exactly. Once they take action and connect with that larger network, a little bit of their faith is renewed. But what you were saying before, Beth, is really important. It's difficult for people to shoulder the burden of hope.
Yeah.
When they really are idealistic and they believe that they can make a difference, mm-hmm. I think about all the people on every losing candidate, you know, on every losing campaign, Republican, Democrat, Independent. Somebody wins. And somebody loses. And all those people who work so hard and their candidate lost, it's hard to maintain faith when you've really been disappointed. But it's also the only way that change gets made. It mm-hmm. doesn't happen all at once. Rosa Parks doesn't stand up and suddenly there's a civil rights movement. It's the individual action, standing up and saying, I am going to be a subject of history, not an object of history.
Thank you for coming by to give us a small presentation today, because these are the conversations that I love having. You're so good at, and I think Bad Stories has become much more organic maybe than anybody anticipated, and it continues living on. Are you writing another book right now?
I am writing a book. It's a book about a novel that I love, and it's about the inner life, because I think it's all related. Our political circumstances arises from our inner life.
All right. Well, next time you're passing through Sacramento, the door's open, the seat's there, the mic is there. Okay?
I shall be here.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Steve Allman's latest book is Bad Stories. He is the co-host of the podcast Dear Sugars. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.